Ball on the 50-yard line of UBC going left to right here. 20 seconds and counting to go in the ballgame. UBC rushing only 4, dropping 8. Going downfield, jump ball. That is caught inside the 20-yard line. Bennett Stusek, who's been money in this fourth quarter, makes the grab inside the 20.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, by Face First Medical Aesthetics just above Gabbo's on Dewdney Avenue, by Boys Next Door Window Cleaning for pressure washing, for window cleaning and gutter cleaning. Give Nathan and Landon a call. Check out their information at theboysnextdoor.ca. For Mark Greshner Photography, check out his fine work at markgreshner.com. For Riviera Ag Seeds in Radville, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified Durham yellow peas and chickpeas. For Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn and Corey Zadorozniak, for grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance, give Double Z Ag Sales a call out there in the Weyburn area. Time now for our Athlete of the Week here on Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Paul Waldo over there at Royal LePage in Regina. Get in the real estate game with the 3-time Grey Cup champ by giving him a call at 306-502-5355. Joining me now is a Ram slotback, Bennett Stusek. First off, number 10, is that a special? It seems like it's a special number to you.
Honestly, just kind of got it in high school and liked the way it looked, like some of the NFL players and stuff that were wearing it, so I just kind of stuck.
All right, awesome, man. Okay, so let's start there. Who's your favorite NFL team?
I'm a Steelers fan.
Okay, so who's your favorite NFL receiver?
DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay, there you go, number 10. What do you think of Chase Claypool, though, the young Canadian?
Oh, yeah, he's a stud, freak athlete.
Yeah.
It's good to be able to watch him.
Yeah.
In the gold and black.
I think Pittsburgh's going to have a pretty good year this year. How about you?
Yeah, no, they have a top 3 defense, I think, in the league. Ben Roethlisberger is healthy. I think they'll be good.
Yeah, for sure. So, Bennett, who's your favorite receiver in the CFL?
Like I was a big Dressler guy, like back in the day, Rob Bad guy. Right now, probably Kyren Moore.
Yeah. Do you watch much CFL, Bennett?
I'm not like a huge like other guy. Like I go to every Rider game and watch every Rider game, but not like a lot of the other teams.
Why are you not a big CFL guy? And I'm not saying that rudely. I ask a lot of guys this. Why don't you watch the CFL? Or care about it as much, I guess.
I don't know. It's hard to, like, I do enjoy it. Like, I'll watch the playoffs and I'll watch everything, obviously. But, like, I don't know. It's cool to be able to, like, see, especially the offenses teams run, like, because it's very similar. Like, Toronto and Calgary run very similar offenses to what the Rams run.
Right.
So it's cool to, like, to see, like, I could pick out plays and call plays, kind of. Which is, like, it's interesting and see defenses and stuff. Like, so for that aspect, like, it's really enjoyable. But I don't know, it's just NFL is just more entertaining, I think.
Is it more entertaining, though? Let me stop you, because I think our game is more entertaining than theirs. I think they market their game better. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, 100%. The speed of the CFL game is, it's way better. It's more sideline to sideline, I think. It's super entertaining, all more big plays. It's just, yeah, the NFL, the fantasy football, the red zone, the all that stuff, really.
Yeah, I think the CFL needs to do a better job of marketing its stars. I think U Sports needs to do a better job of marketing guys like Bennett Stusek. Guys like, I mean, Noah Pickton won a heck Crichton. We barely know about it. I mean, the Rams, when you think about it, you're a little old school here in the middle of nowhere, as people like to say. They've got 3 guys on NFL rosters to start right now. That's amazing. And you don't, we don't pump that enough over at the university.
Yeah, no, I think we're getting better about, like, just media and social media and stuff like that. Like, I think we're moving in the right direction. It's just tough, you know, being in Regina, I think.
Yeah.
I think the university is going in the right direction, though. Just highlighting their athletes in all sports, I think.
I do agree with you. I think especially with the Rams social media account and then with the Regina Rams alumni, they're doing a better job in social media. So I will give you that. But I think maybe the CFL needs to look to do a better job. So guys like you, because you're the market that they need. And when we look at fixing the CFL, you are the market. A young guy in his 20s, you're the market that they need. You know what I mean? They need those kind of eyeballs on their league. Okay, so how does it feel, Ben and Stusik, to be back on the football field doing something football-related with your gear on?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I was thinking, because we started practice Wednesday, and it was the first time I put on shoulder pads and a helmet since October, like since our last game,
yeah,
which is insane. We usually do winter practices, spring camp, all that stuff, so... Just to be out in the field, running routes, doing one-on-ones and stuff, it's a blessing for sure.
How weird is it to put on a helmet and shoulder pads? Like I know when you first start during the season, after you've been off for a long off season, it's even longer now. Guys can get a headache. They can be, you know, you got some muscles that hurt more than they should or that you didn't know you had because just putting pads on, doing different things.
Yeah, no, the helmet or the head's always going to hurt after the first couple of days of a putting on a helmet. You know, it's just like all the guys have been working out hard and doing all this stuff, but nothing really compares when you get on the field, when you're doing one-on-ones, when you're running routes full speed, and then you get home or you wake up the next day and everything is so different for sure.
How are workouts going for you guys? How often are you working a regular practice regimen here? How's it going?
Yeah, so we're going three times a week for practice, so Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then our gym isn't like we're not allowed to have team workouts yet.
Yep.
So what we're doing is we just sign up for like slots kind of, and then we're doing that three times a week. So it's just, just kind of like, it's not, I wouldn't say it's as good because when you get like the team workout atmosphere, like the music's going, boys are amped up, like that's a different kind of atmosphere, but we're doing what we can right now. It's good.
I saw some pictures. Are you guys wearing masks while you practice or just kind of in warm-ups?
Yeah, no, we're wearing masks during practice. It's a change for sure.
Now, how hard is it to breathe, man?
Oh, it's not easy. Yeah, it's tough. I think it's more about the optics of it. You know, we're doing anything we can to practice, really. So it's a mask. It's a small. Obviously, I'd prefer not to, but it's a small thing to be able to practice.
Small sacrifice. Bennett, do you guys get tested? Like, have you been tested before the workout started so you know you're negative? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so we did our medicals, like, earlier this week. So kind of, like, got screened and stuff. So we're doing that. And then we do, like self-checks and stuff. Like, we have to show the coaches before we walk on the field and stuff. And, we're being really cautious. Kind of just about, like doing all that stuff.
What do you got to do to take your game to the next level? Like you mentioned being in the weight room. You're a guy that's not physically imposing. You're really quick and you use your speed and change the direction real good. But do you feel like you got to bulk up a little bit or will bulking up take away from your game?
Yeah, that's kind of the fine line. Like I for sure need to get bigger. I don't think I'm too far off like the weight I need to be. The key for me is if I get bigger, I don't want to lose speed and quickness because I think that's more important. So it's just kind of about gaining mass, but then also keeping the speed and quickness.
Yeah. So you're going to be one of the leaders now. How does that feel? Because of this, you guys lost a couple of receivers here, so you were due to be one of the leading guys here now. How does that feel?
Yeah, it's weird for sure. Like last 2 years, I've been the young guy coming in with Shinny and Morty and all those scraper all those guys. So it's weird trying to have a leadership role and like getting the ball more and stuff. But I'm excited for it. I'm happy for the opportunity.
What's your favorite route? You have to run one route that nobody can cover you on. What's the one route Bennett Stusik can run?
Streak,
eh? Go right on top,
absolutely.
Daniel. You know, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before. You had a game. I was calling a game, and there was one drive where you were wide open, and it kind of bounced off your helmet or your shoulder pad.
But don't remind me.
But what I liked about it is where a young guy could, you know, circle the drain and turn one bad play into four bad plays, you came back and made a couple of big catches on the drive. Do you just have that? Have you always had that mentality where you can just, if I screw up, the odd time you do screw up because you don't do it very much, but when you do screw up, you can just put it aside and go to the next play?
Yeah, I think that's important for a player, especially a young player. That's what we try to teach our guys. It's obviously you get angry, like, and I was mad, but it's, you know, just next play mentality, like, go and make the play. It's can't do anything to fix it now. We'll watch it in film, and, yeah, just next play, that's always been a big mentality for me, just on to the next one.
A couple more quick questions for you here, Bennett Stusick. How is it with your dad coaching you? I know he was coaching receivers. I'm not sure he's doing that anymore. He's maybe moved to another area, but how is it when Pops is on the field coaching you, or is it like old hat to you now?
Yeah, no, it's been going for so long. I'm kind of used to it now. He's moved to specialties now, so
yeah.
He's still helping out with the receivers, so like he still runs some of the indies and stuff like that. But yeah, you know, it's been going on for the last 10 years of my life, so it's some people think it's weird, but I don't know. I'm super used to it. So
is it hard to separate dad from coach though? Like, I guess what I'm saying is, if Mark McConkey gives you criticism and your dad gives you criticism, do you take it like the coach is giving me criticism, or are you taking it like my dad's giving me criticism?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think my dad's very, he's probably my hardest critic. So it's for him, like he wants me to be better and I want to be better, obviously. So just anything he says, really, like, I take it to heart and try to get better at that.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Okay, how do you think your team is going to do this year? It you know, I think your team was, over the next few years, your team's got a good chance to make some waves. I'm not sure about this year, but how are you approaching this year personally and as a team?
Yeah, like our goal every year is one, win a Hardy, and two, win a Vanier. And I think this year, like, we have a lot of young talent, and I think, like, we got guys like Borsa and Ford and Donnelly and Varga. Mm-hmm. Like, we got dudes where if this year and, like, next year, we got potential to make a run. So I think just staying on track, working hard, I think we're going to have a chance.
Do you and your dude Donnelly throw extra? Like, do you guys, because that chemistry between receiver and quarterback, especially when the receiver's a smaller guy like you, you rely on quickness and timing and chemistry. Do you guys work on some extra stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. We even last year, like after practice, we'd always stay back and just, like, I think, like, there's certain routes that are big timing routes, like where you need to hit him, like he needs to hit me right on my break, or I need to be here when he throws it, kind of thing. So I think, and me and Josh have been playing together since we played U16 together, U18 together. Like we've been growing up playing together, so I think that chemistry's already formed. But yeah, we work on it after practice, before practice, just to get it going.
Okay, I gotta ask you some hair related questions before I let you go. Okay, so you talked about putting on your helmet. How do you jam all that hair in that helmet?
Yeah, I don't know. It's I don't have as much as my brother, so it's not as difficult. But it gets a little hot on the hot days. I'm not gonna lie, it's pretty sweaty.
But do you wet it down or something to get it on?
No, you flip it all back and then put the helmet on over.
Okay, so how long have you had long hair for? Because I only remember you with long hair.
Yeah, I think the last time I, like, was short-haired was in grade 6, so I would have been 12, so 8 years ago. So, yeah, it's been a long run.
Anybody try to tackle you by your hair?
Yeah, I've been tackled a couple of times. Like, high school, I got a real bad one where technically it's legal, like,
yeah,
someone can grab me by my hair and tackle me, so, but every time it happened in my rookie year too on the Rams, where they tackle me and I fall backwards, so both times I've gotten a horse collar call, which is good, but
helps out, the hair helps out, that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and the last question I have for you, who's got better hair, your dad, your brother, your mom, or you?
I'll go mom first. You know, he probably takes the best care of it. I'm going me second for sure.
That's awesome. Hey, Benny, thanks for this. I can't wait to see you on the field. Hey, actually, I got one more for you. How do you stay motivated when there are no games to play? That's one that almost slipped past me here. How do you stay motivated? How do your teammates stay motivated when you don't really have, like, there's no game next week or the following week?
Yeah, that's kind of been our biggest, I think, like, our leadership group, just trying to figure out how to keep even the young guys, like, it's tough because there's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, you know, like, there's no end goal kind of right now. Like, it's hard to see that far in the future, but I think we're, at least receiver-wise, we're just trying to take it one day at a time, kind of one week at a time. Like, our goal is we could either, or what we've been saying is we could either coast through these practices, do whatever, or we can get better and then roll into next season. So I think it's just, for us, it's just getting better every day. Like, use this as an opportunity. At least we're allowed to get out here.
We could, we could
for a
see,
while it wasn't looking like we would.
We could see some epic football when we actually get back to it, right?
Oh yeah, we could.
All right, Bennett, thanks for this. Take care.
Awesome. Thanks, Wally.
Time now for the Pick 6 on Growing the Game with Ballsy, and it's brought to you by SaaSelects Football. They've got their 7-on-7 league going every weekend out there in Moose Jaw, varsity and junior varsity programs. You can check out their webpage and their Facebook page for more details and pictures. Thanks to Zelko Stefanovic and his great wife, Deb, for helping out and helping grow the game of football in Saskatchewan and supporting this podcast. Well, the second Sunday in the NFL brought a ton of injuries. Let's start with the 49ers. Before the game, they were playing without their receiver Samuel, without George Kittle, their tight end, and without the Hall of Famer Richard Sherman. Then Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt. He misses the second half. High ankle sprain. Raheem Mostert, after a long touchdown run, he hurts his knee. Solomon Thomas, D lineman, he hurts his knee. He had to be carted off. And so did their stud D lineman, Nick Bosa, carted off with a torn ACL. Speaking of torn ACLs, Giants running back Saquon Barkley gone with a torn ACL. Panthers Swiss Army knife Christian McCaffrey out 4-6 with an ankle injury. LA Chargers quarterback Tyrod Taylor, chest pains, and didn't play. Drew Locke, Denver Broncos quarterback, sprained AC joint in his passing shoulder. He'll be out 2 to 6 weeks. Packers wide receiver Davante Adams, hamstring. Who knows how long he's going to be laid up for. Colts safety Malik Hooker, Achilles injury. Colts wide receiver Paris Campbell, knee injury. I'll tell you what, all this adds up to the players need to get paid. Guaranteed cash in football, man. It's crazy they don't have guaranteed money. When you see a guy sign 5 years, $120 million, $40 million guaranteed, there's a lot of dead money there that they won't get if they get knee injuries like that. I feel for a guy like Saquon Barkley. You know the Giants are going to pick up his option, but dude could have probably rushed for 1,500 yards this year and then asked for a big extension like Dalvin Cook in Minnesota. Bottom line, players should get every dollar they can. Number two in Ballsy's Pick 6, Atlanta's Dan Quinn must have pictures of owner Arthur Blank. How does your team blow a 15-point fourth quarter lead against the Dallas team that was dead on home turf? In fact, they were down 20-0 at one point. How does your special teams not attack the ball on their short kick? They look like a bunch of third basemen waiting for the ball to go foul. This after they had a sub-500 season last year. And of course, remember, they choked away the Super Bowl, 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. By the way, they're the first team ever to have 39 points and no turnovers and lose a game. Before that, teams were 440 and nothing. 440 wins, no losses. Well, Atlanta becomes the first team to choke away a 28-3 Super Bowl lead and the first team to score 39 points, not have a turnover, and lose. How does that guy have his job? Bill O'Brien should be fired in Houston, too. I mean, your team, I know they played Kansas City and Baltimore, but that offense looks out of sync. The GM, Bill O'Brien, traded DeAndre Hopkins, the best receiver in football, for David Johnson, the tailback. And Deshaun Watson looks out of sorts, out of sync. Bill O'Brien should be fired, as should Matt Patricia in Detroit. He's done already. Lions are 9-24-1 under Patricia. They haven't won a game since October of 2019. They haven't won an away game since September of 2019. And perhaps the worst one, they haven't won a divisional game since December 2018. And they can't keep a lead, man. And the Chargers' Anthony Lynn seems like a good man. Players seem to like him. But when he needs to be strong and lead his team, he's gutless. No backbone. That game was on the line yesterday. You're 4th-and-1 in overtime around your 30-yard line. Yeah, I get it. But your team's on the ropes. You got to go for it here. You turn that ball over to Patrick Mahomes, the game's over. Even Tony Romo on the broadcast is like, go for it. Because we know he can make a drive for a field goal in his sleep, which is exactly what he did. Anthony Lynn. They're not winning anything with that guy. in Los Angeles. Number three in Ballsy's pick six. Let's talk quarterbacks. Russell Wilson is an underrated stud. He threw five touchdown passes against the best secondary in football in the New England Patriots. And he's not throwing a top picks, folks. Wilson's passes on Sunday went to players picked in the third, second, seventh, sixth, and seventh rounds. Check this stat out. Wilson has never received a vote for the MVP. That's crazy. And yesterday, he was 8 of 11 for 159 yards under pressure and 5 touchdowns. I'm not a big stats guy, but that's a key stat right there. Staying with quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins of the Minnesota Vikings is the worst starting quarterback relative to his guaranteed money. I know his weapons are limited, but 3 more interceptions yesterday. He looks absolutely awful. And I'll tell you what, outside of the trade of DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona, the other big trade that was stupid, Stephon Diggs being shipped to Buffalo. What were the Minnesota Vikings thinking? How about Justin Herbert, the rookie for the Chargers out of Oregon, finds out just before kickoff that he's in the lineup, and he goes out and throws for over 300 with a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown. His only sin, a crossbody throw across the field that resulted in a bad interception killing a drive when he could have easily ran for a first down. That really was the turning point in the game. But by virtue of his play yesterday, we may never see Tyrod Taylor start another game. For Herbert, the stage wasn't too big. He played let-it-rip football and showed an emotional demeanor seldom seen in a first-year player playing in his first-ever game. How about Josh Allen? He might be the most improved guy in the NFL through 2 weeks. He threw for 417 against the Dolphins and 4 touchdowns with a passer rating of 114. But you can thank Stephon Diggs. He has really helped out that passing game. Speaking of receivers, let's talk about Chase Claypool. His 84-yard touchdown for the Steelers, the longest touchdown ever scored by a Canadian. We'll talk to David Benefield about that coming up. Mapletron is off to a great start. How about N'Keal Harry of the Patriots? He had 8 catches for 72 yards. Newton and him have some real chemistry. And man, did Harry take a kill shot over the middle and still hung on to the football. And how about DK Metcalf of the Seahawks? He is an emerging star that not too many people are talking about. Well, they're starting to talk about him now. 6 catches, 92 yards, and a long touchdown. Big, fast, sure-handed. He's the next big one at receiver. Number 5 on Ballsy's pick 6 for the Sasselex football program. Jets are the worst team in football. Just end the season. No kidding. The 49ers had nobody left by the end of that game and still beat the Jets. What, 37-13? Adam Gase is a grease fire as the head coach. Now, what was your favorite blunder? Give up draw on 3rd and 18 to settle for field goal? Allowing Jerick McKinnon to run for 55 yards on 3rd and 31? The screen pass on 3rd and 9 while trailing 24-3? The punt from near midfield on the very next play? Not taking a shot at the end zone before settling for a field goal to cut the deficit to 18? What? What a joke. Give Dabo Sweeney from Clemson a fat deal, bring in his quarterback Trevor Lawrence with the top pick, and start over. And how about Harrison Butker, the Chiefs kicker? This dude nails a 58-yarder in regulation time. He kicks a 30-yarder to send it to overtime. And then, with the game on the line in overtime, kicks a 53-yarder. Oh, wait. His team is called for illegal procedure or false start, as they like to call it in the NFL. So they move him back 5 yards, and it turns into a 58-yard field goal. Okay, he goes to kick the 58-yarder. Oh, wait, the Chargers call a timeout. By the way, both of those kicks were good. So what does he do? He lines up again for his 3rd kick in a row in probably a minute from 50-plus and nails a 58-yard field goal to win the game. Harrison Butker, the best kicker in the NFL. That's the pick six. Time now for some extras, the 2-point conversion, we'll call it. The networks that air the NFL should continue to tweak the audio level of the enhanced noise, particularly in end-of-game situations. I was watching CBS's call of the Chargers and Chiefs with the best broadcast duo, Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. They were fantastic on KC's game-tying drive in regulation against the Chargers, but the audio was distracting to me. By the way, the fake Charger crowd is larger than a real Charger crowd, and this is coming from a real Charger fan and me. And this is interesting. Zero players of the approximately 2,272 active and practice squad players and rosters have tested positive for COVID-19 in the first 2 weeks of the season. A remarkable achievement. Though the injury bug is awful, the COVID bug right now so far is not around. It's non-existent. Cross your fingers. By the way, the coach is wearing masks. Anthony Lynn, once again, second straight week. I know I'm picking on him, but I'm a Chargers guy, so I watch. He's got his mask on, calls the ref over. Ref gives him the explanation. He shakes his head and spits on the ground before he puts his mask on. What? Bill Belichick looked like Toucan Sam with his mask on. When other people zig, he zags. He has his mask over his nose, but not his mouth. What? and really, they're just doing it for show. Everybody on that field is tested negative. They've tested negative. So why are they wearing masks? By the way, it was great to see 20,000 in Dallas, 13,000 in Miami. Actually, what's interesting is they had 13,000 up for sale in Miami. Just over 11,000 people picked up tickets. Now it's because maybe they're scared to go out. I hope so, because if that's a referendum on the Dolphins got some problems then. That's the pick six for the SAS Selects football program. All right, time to talk some football with our friend David Benefield, former CFL great defender in this league. Where do we find you today, Benny? Well, in BC, but I guess the better question is, can you breathe?
Today is like one of the first days we can actually see blue in our sky, so it's pretty good. I mean, thank God. The little things, you always seem to overlook things, and then now it's like, oh my God, we got blue sky, like going crazy.
Yeah,
it's great.
What's the one thing you overlooked or took for granted in this COVID thing here?
What did I take for granted? Just what I'm finding is just the people just being social. The little things, the handshake, being able just to laugh in a group. You know, little things like that. It's going to leave a mark on us socially all across the world. Just how we used to carry on.
Yeah.
That's going to be something that's going to take a long time to fix. I think even after they come up with an antidote and everything, it's still going to take a long time.
Okay, so let's get to the NFL here. Injuries were the story week number two, the second Sunday. As we talk here, we haven't played the Monday Nighter yet, so hopefully they get through that one relatively unscathed. What was the bigger injury, Bosa for the 49ers, Saquon Barkley for the Giants?
Oh, man, that's a tough one because if you look at Bosa, and then they lost another D-lineman, I mean, Bosa brings so much heat and pressure off the edge. I mean, he's a guy that can actually, I mean, he does everything right. I mean, pad level's right, the leverage is right, the strength, the speed, the quickness. I mean, stuff like that you don't see too often. I mean, those are really rare. You don't get all those gifts. You know, you don't get that in a guy. And he's got all of them. So I think that's going to be a big one. Saquon, as much as he was touted to be a generational guy, a franchise saver, he's been having a rough go at it, but you got to look all around in the NFL. I mean, it's not – if you've only got one guy to concern yourself with, guess what?
Yeah.
We're going to load the box. We're going to know what you're going to do. We're going to make it difficult for you to be that kind of special. Mm-hmm. And sure, he gave us some great stuff the first year, but you got to have more pieces in the NFL.
Yeah, no,
to really shine these days, I think you got to have more pieces. And he needed – and he definitely needs – like a more veteran quarterback. Receiving core needs to be better for him to really become that. And their O-line's got to be better too.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just something, you know, you just can't get away with anymore, just outrunning or over or just powering over guys. It's just not the time anymore.
Benny, though, like that's a meat market, the running back spot. I don't like. I know you're in great shape, even now your playing days are done. 260 pounds of twisted steel, but as if you who'd want to be a
running back? Killing me right now.
Yeah, who'd want to be a running back, David? Like who'd want to be a running back? That is the worst position.
Well, we're My buddy at work, Dave Ventrudi, and I were talking about Adrian Peterson. And I was just going, I remember watching Adrian Peterson in a bowl game as a true freshman playing for Oklahoma, thinking, oh, my God, that's a man they got back there. He looks like a man. He still looks like a man, and he's gone through the ACL, mm-hmm. and he's proved it wrong. And, I mean, he's still putting up great numbers. I mean, not killer numbers by any means because, I mean, he's another old one, but still, he's still doing great work. And you know as a coach what you got with an Adrian Peterson. I think anytime also a coach understands what sort of player he has, the heart of the player, that makes it easier in scripting plays all around. That puts the offensive line at ease because they know what this guy can do. They know what they need to do. Quarterback, hey, the target goes off the quarterback somewhat because now you got an Adrian Peterson that'll take it 4, 5, 6 yards, you know, if need be. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then anything over that, bonus time. I mean, so it's, you know, it's tough call.
Yeah, okay, so what's the hardest position besides quarterback to play, do you feel?
Besides quarterback. I would say, I'd love to say DN just because I'm slightly biased, but, DN, you look at the offensive lineman, the overall skill set of the offensive lineman and athleticism has gotten to the point where you got to be a super freak to get around these guys.
Yeah,
I mean, really, they're no longer these big, fat, fat yeah. guys. They are lean. They're athletic. They're mobile. They're able to keep up with you. I mean, it's not the I think DN's pretty tough. Middle linebacker's got to be because every check the offensive makes, you're making checks. You're making changes. So I think a lot of fans sleep on the cerebral level of the game today.
Yeah,
it's no longer just we line up and do whatever. No. It's the game is so cerebral. I mean, quarterback. You mentioned quarterback. The amount of checks, O-line checks, movements by the defense, side adjustments, audibles, all in, 20-second clock? Come on now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. You know what's ridiculous to me, David Benefield? That Russell Wilson has never gotten a vote for MVP. That is a crazy thing. And also this, yesterday, he was 8 of 11 for 158 yards and 5 touchdowns under pressure. Just talk about what a stud Russell Wilson is. I think he's the best player in the league.
Here you go. So, a buddy of mine works for the Seahawks, and he was telling me how when Russell came in, everybody's like, yeah, okay, because he's not much to look at, right? I mean, he's a good-looking guy, don't get me wrong, but he's not a 6'2 guy. He doesn't have that sort of ripped-looking. I mean, he's a good 5'10 guy,
yeah.
And he goes in and he shreds the minicamp guys, shreds them. I mean, he eats them alive. And then, you know, that buys you a ticket to the next level when the vets come in. So now the vets come in, and guess what? He's doing them too. He's eating them alive too. And people are going, what the hell? Who's this guy? Because remember, they just got the quarterback from Green Bay, I think it was Flynn, for like $6 million, something like that, for $6 million. And next thing you know, he's getting shipped out. Russell's a starter, and these guys are balling. And he's back there looking like a guy who's played in the league. Like, there was very little rookiness to him. You know, he didn't look like a rookie. So it's just like one of those things where now he's such an old hand at this. I mean, he's in the Drew – I mean, only because I think he's shorter. He's in that Drew Brees class where he's able to pick you apart. They've given him some nice tools to use. So I think Russell's just the guy right now. He's amazing to watch,
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, how about Justin Herbert? He didn't find out till before the kickoff that he was going to be quarterback in the Chargers against the defending champs. I thought the kid did pretty good. A touchdown pass, a rushing touchdown, over 300 yards. He did have the one mistake that I think actually flipped the game for Kansas City. But I thought a pretty good showing gives Charger fans like me some hope, I think.
Oh, you're a Charger fan?
Yeah.
You know what? It's I think I was a Charger fan before I was a Rams fan, just because I always thought the uniforms were way too cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you look at just what he did, I mean, that's just, to me, that's like, okay, we have a lot to work with. I mean, their offense wasn't great last night. I think it's like ranked 27th. And this week, I mean, to actually come up close, you know, against the Chiefs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's saying something. I mean, you're gonna go. You know, actually try to out-duel Mahomes. Come on now. I mean, that takes a lot of guts and a lot of just, hey, show us your ability. And then you know, all of a sudden once the game starts, hey, you're playing. Go on. I mean,
yeah,
it's like coaches don't even have time, because what a lot of coaches, Ballsy, are doing now. Whereas before, they dropped the phone book size playbook on you and said, this is what we do. Now you learn what we do. Now, and I mean, it's not now, but probably like in the last 20-some-odd years, you hear of a lot of coaches going into, what did the kid run in college? Okay, how can we find the plays that we do that are similar? We create a diet for him to learn our playbook around what he did in college, and then we roll out with that. That's what they do. That's what they've been doing probably since their early 2000s.
Yeah, okay.
But he's one of those kids, though, that just not only, I mean, puts in the time, but has the tools. I mean, 6'6", what, 230, athletic, can see all over the field, can put the ball where he wants to, has confidence, can play from gun, can move around. I mean, man, if that's not what everybody's doing right now, and I'm glad for Anthony Lynn that he's got a guy that can step in and do this, because they were in the bottom three quarters of the league offensively.
Yeah, no, you got
their defense is really good.
Yeah.
The defense is in the tops, but offense, not so much. So if he can stay healthy and maybe get some other guys to step up their game in that receiving core, they could be okay. They could be exciting again.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so before we move off that game, I know not a lot of people are fans of kickers, but how about Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker? He hit 3 50-yard field goals in a minute, because the 53-yarder moved to 58 yards after the penalty. He kicks a 58-yarder, Chargers call timeout, and then he kicks another 58-yarder right after that. That is like a machine.
I was watching the NFL Network, right? I love the NFL Network because they just let it go. I mean, they tell you as players what it is, and they've got personality, and you know, I got a buddy that works for that show too that I went to college with, and they let them go. They let players be players and personality be personality, and to me, that's the way it should be for TV, because it's entertainment based. So let the guys do what they do, and you know what? When I saw the first one, I said, normally when they show a kicker, he's either nailing it or someone's blocking it. And then they show it, like, I think I blinked, and then they showed it again. And I'm like, okay, now they're going to block this one? No. Oh, he makes it. Then again, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What's going on? Who does this?
Yeah.
I mean, who does this? So it was that was pretty good. That was my only moment of actually going, be great to be a kicker.
Okay, so I think Matt Patricia is pretty well done in Detroit. They haven't won, and I can't remember. They keep blowing leads. So he's on the hot seat. But how about Dan Quinn? How does that guy have a job in Atlanta? I mean, they're the first team to score 39 points with no turnovers and lose in 441 games. It sucks. It sucks to be the first team of something when you're sucking like that, or blowing a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl when you should have won. And like, you've obviously been on specials. What the hell were the Atlanta Falcons doing there on that watermelon kick? I described it earlier. It looked like they were third baseman waiting for a bunt to go foul.
I think I've seen peewees do that, where they just sit there watching. It's like, dude, jump on it. Somebody jump on it. You know, don't – I mean, here's what – okay, so Dan Quinn, I mean, you lose the Super Bowl. We all remember that. We were all pulling for Atlanta to win.
Right.
Because we love to see the underdogs. I mean, everything was so great about that game. You lose that, okay? Now, you haven't done anything since, and then this happens. I mean, come on, you've been like in the bottom, and there's no one out there. Right now, there is no one out there that you can pull into that spot. You've got tools. You got Jones. You got, I mean, you,
Kelvin
you
Ridley.
Got everybody you want.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see how you continue to do it. I mean, what do you have to overhaul in order to get the Falcons to get that monkey off their back?
Yeah, they got.
I mean, offensively, it's all there. You got Matt Ryan. I mean, come on, you got everything, but. I mean, what more do you need in order to win? It's funny. I was watching the 30 for 30 on Michael Vick going to Atlanta, and they were talking about the energy. And, you know, I'm sitting here as a fan watching the energy, and they're talking about how he totally transformed that Atlanta market and brought so much more, you know, love for the Falcons. And it's kind of like you got to remember they had – you know, they had Deion Sanders there. They had, you know, they nearly won a Super Bowl before, I think it was sometime, what was that, 2000 or late 90s or something like that.
98,
whatever. But
98,
still,
yeah.
Like, it's like they are so hungry for that guy to come in there and make it happen again. And win, that it's like you wonder, maybe Quinn isn't the guy, but I'm wondering, who do you bring in? I mean, what college coach is out there with the air raid, RPO? Who's the player that you can bring in there to transform that, to make it that kind of special? I mean, would he bring Chuba Howard down there? I mean,
yeah,
you know, I mean, who are you going to bring in?
Yeah, no, that's for sure.
I don't know. I don't know.
You mentioned Chuba Hubbard there. How about this?
Hubbard. I'm sorry. Yeah, I called him Howard thinking – I had a moment, so
that's okay. That's okay, brother. Okay, lastly, though, we're tied into the Canadian. Chase Claypool scores an 84-yard touchdown for Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's the longest touchdown ever for a Canadian in the NFL. Man, this kid is something else coming out of BC.
I think I said it to somebody. I said he's a generational talent. I saw, okay, so, Baldy, so check this out. So, I'm sitting with another kid from Saskatchewan who, like, I literally helped, you know, I remember helping him out. He went to, winds up going to Chaminade High School. His quarterback was Brad Kaya, who was an Elite 11 quarterback. The two of them take them to state. And even before Braden Linnaeus gets on the field, from what people are telling me during the 7-on-7, like, team stuff, people are going, oh, my God, who's this guy? Like, you know, everyone. UCLA is after him. USC is after him. Lane Kiffin is after him. Pete Carroll's son, who was at Miami, director of scouting, is after this guy. Going, oh, my God, oh, my God. And he was the goods. I mean, literally the goods. 6'4", get way up in the air. Like jumping over Coach Dunking sort of hops. Ability to catch the ball. Catches, like, probably some of the best catches of the year. I mean, just amazing hands, right? So this guy, he's sitting there when we're watching Chase Claypool in the finals in BC plays. Chase is hurt his hip some kind of crazy way. You see the kid, he doesn't look like a kid at all. He looks like a second-year, like, college player. Like, wow. He's buff. And you're just going, and Braden goes, this dude's a beast.
Yeah.
Now, imagine who he has seen. He has spent a year in L.A. playing with, you know, amazing guys like a Dory Jackson who plays for Tennessee, like all these guys he's played against and seen. He's looking at this guy going, he's amazing. He's a beast. You know, not to mention the college guys, right? So I see him at a flag football men's league, full contact sort of deal. And I'm like, who's that kid? Is that guy a DN somewhere? You know, college guy? Someone goes, no, that's a receiver, Dave. I'm like, what? That's a receiver? It's like, dude, he was bigger than me in my third year.
Wow.
Of my professional career.
Wow.
I mean, that's how he was gigantic. This was in high school before that senior season started. And then to watch him, he was the team. He literally was the team. And then in basketball, a guy was telling me just the other day, because Chase Claypool is all anyone ever talks
about,
right?
So, yeah.
Like, it's not, are the Steelers playing? It's Chase Claypool playing.
Right.
you know, which is, that's amazing. That's when you cool. know you're doing it. So they're like, you should have seen him in basketball day. He was, and my son still remembers, and he met him when he was like a kid. He goes, he's got a 3.5 GPA, Papa. Is that good? I go, that's great. Yeah. You know, that is great. And to watch him play, the guys are like, sick. Sickness on the basketball court. So to see him do that at Notre Dame, MVP, they don't just give it to the nice guy. He killed it at Notre Dame with no quarterback. They really didn't have quarterbacks when he was there. And then to watch him do it now in the NFL, it's crazy. Yeah, it I mean, and think about the guys, Ballsy, we've had come out of BC, the receivers we've had. So Jerome Payton.
Yeah.
He was a guy, I think he literally lit up, he's on the wall at UW as one of their top receivers ever, played in the league for 6, 7, 8 years for New Orleans. I mean, he's just a stud receiver. But guess what? He's only about 5'10", 5'11". Mm-hmm. Then you got like guys like Paris Jackson, you know, stud in the CFL, great size. I still think Paris Jackson should have taken another shot at the NFL long ago, but he was another guy, great size, you know, great size guy. You know, then we had guys like Lamar Durant, really good player.
Right.
Tony Stroh. I mean, we had a bunch of guys who've come out of BC that are amazing, but this kid is a completely different breed of athlete. I mean, for the receiver court, I don't know how anyone's going to compete with that coming out. I know there's a kid for playing in Clemson out of Alberta, I believe. And then my former vets, Patrick Wayne's son, Jared Wayne, mm-hmm. he's at Pitt, and he already had like a record as I think one of the freshmen that had like the most yards since any freshman. Like since 2003, so, and he's a 6'3", 215 kid that can go get the ball, and I hear he can put him up and pick him up and put him down. So, so that's the only kid right now on the radar that is anywhere close to approaching a Claypool type guy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, next time when I have you on, I want to talk a little Canadian football and how we can make it better right from the grassroots up, okay, if we can?
Oh, sure, buddy. Sure, right. Buddy.
Thanks. I appreciate your time, David.
All right, Ballsy. Take it easy now.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.